Welcome back, everybody. Again, class number 8, the assassination of Gedalia and the tragic end of Yirmiyahu's career. We'll have one more shir after this. This will finish our study of the text of Yirmiyahu. Our next shir next week will be sort of a summary and touching on some of the key points in relating to modern day times. So again, Yirmiyahu's career is not over when the temple was destroyed, nor is his problem of credibility. We're going to read the story of the destruction, and we'll see a lot of interesting things that happen. And based on our study this far, we'll understand, I think, the events a lot better. So let's do a quick review of chapter 39, which we've studied already, just to review it. In the 9th year of Tzidkiyahu, a year and a half before the Korban and Asar B'Tevet, in the 10th month, Nebuchadnezzar, okay, and his army comes to Yerushalayim and sets the siege. Nebuchadnezzar himself doesn't stay. He goes back to Rivla, up north in Syria, as we'll see. He leaves Nebuchadnezzar in charge. And in the 11th year, in the 4th month, on the 9th of the month, the walls of the city are broken in the month of Tammuz, and they take over the city. And this time they can't surrender, because last time they surrendered, they broke their treaty. Since Tzidkiyahu broke the treaty with Babel, there's no way he can surrender anymore, and therefore his only option is to run away. And when Tzidkiyahu saw the army breaking through the city, he ran away that night through the walls of the city, underground passages, and tried to snuck out all the way down to Yericho. They chased him to Yericho. They caught him there. And then, just review again, by Shchat Melech Babel B'nei Tzidkiyahu B'Rivla B'Einav. Rivla is a city up in Syria, where Nebuchadnezzar is sitting with his big army. There, Tzidkiyahu is sent there. He's caught. He's sent there. They shecht his children. They slaughter his children in front of him. And then they poke out his eyes. And then they put him into shackles and carry him out to Babel. Okay. Now, Beit HaMelech Beit HaAm Sarfu, HaGazdim Ba'esh, V'Tchomot Yerushalayim Natatzu. Okay. They destroyed not just the temple, they destroyed the king's houses, all the public buildings, the walls of Jerusalem they took apart. And B'Yeter HaAm and Yishrim Ba'er, those who remained, and the people who surrendered earlier, V'Yeter HaAm and Yishrim Haglan Nebuchadnezzar, Rav Tavachim Bavel. Rav Tavachim means the big general, Nebuchadnezzar. He was in charge of the exile. And majority of the people who remained, who weren't killed, are exiled to Babylonia. Now we start our story. That was a review. Umina ama dalim, asher ein la mu'uma. The poor people, who just good citizens, don't know political aspirations, nothing. Simple farmers who have nothing with anybody. He shirnu buzadran rav tavachim beretz Yehuda. He let them stay in the land of Yehuda. Vayitein lam kramim v'yegevim bayomu. He gave them vineyards and fields that they could continue their agriculture. Now, the reason why conquering countries don't exile everybody and don't kill everybody, because dead people don't pay taxes. Now, on the other hand, live people can rebel. So what do? People who are alive who might rebel, who might cause trouble, you either exile or kill. Simple people work and make a living, let them work their land. As long as they're not going to rebel, they can grow crops, they can pay taxes, they can supply your soldiers, so you leave them alive. So people you can trust who aren't going to start trouble, those are the people they leave behind. We'll see in a minute, he'll put in charge someone named Gedalia. Okay. Okay. Nebuchadnezzar gave the following command to Nebuchadnezzar, the head general, about Yirmiyahu. Listen carefully. Take Yirmiyahu, who was in jail then at the time, you know, by the Jewish people, take him out of jail, out of captivity, put your eye on him, but ataslo mu'umat ra. Don't do anything bad to him. Kim kashi daber lecha kein asemo. Anything Yirmiyahu wants, you can do. Now, why is Yirmiyahu getting such special treatment from the Babylonians? The answer is simple. He was the religious leader who told the people to surrender to the Babylonians. He's an ally of the Babylonians. Now, that's good for Yirmiyahu, and that's going to keep him alive and give him a lot of choices. On the other hand, that only proves to the people that he's a collaborator. And remember, when they blame Yirmiyahu for the destruction because he was weakening the troops and he was being paid by the Babylonians to be a traitor to his people, this special treatment he receives only strengthens that understanding the people have. So Nebuchadnezzar, again, the general, sends all these people to Yirmiyahu. They send. That's where he was being in house arrest. Michatzar Matara, we saw before. Gedalia Gedaliah ben Achikam ben Shaphan was put in charge of those remaining in Israel, not in Jerusalem. Everyone sent out of Jerusalem. They're not going to trust the city to rebel again. So Jerusalem is out of limits and destroyed. In the city of Mitzpah, about 10 kilometers north of Jerusalem, that's going to be the center where the people can stay. The person in charge is Gedaliah ben Achikam ben Shaphan. Now, we've had the Shaphan family since the beginning of our study of Yirmiyahu. Shaphan, remember, the Sofer, he was the one who found the Sefer Torah that gave to the king when they were cleaning up the temple. Achikam ben Shaphan came to Yirmiyahu's rescue every time there was a government meeting. Achikam ben Shaphan was an important member in government. He always came and sided with Yirmiyahu to the royal family, to the royal meetings, to save Yirmiyahu's life. And therefore, Shaphan is a family. Shaphan's family can be trusted. Therefore, Shaphan's grandson, Gedaliah, ben Achikam ben Shaphan, he's going to be trusted by the Babylonians to be in charge, and someone like him won't rebel against Babel because, again, they're loyal to Yirmiyahu as well. So he's the governor put in charge. Now the story gets sort of interesting. Chapter 40. Hadavar she'ayar Yirmiyahu meit Hashem achar shalach oto nevuzadran rav tavachim min harama v'kachto oto v'u asur v'asikim b'toch kol galut Yerushalayim v'yuda ha'mugolei Bavela. This background, this historical background, help us understand something we sing in the Nevot of Nachama, which we'll see next week, that makes it to Zichronot in a Rosh Hashanah davening. I'm saving that for next week's shir on Rosh Chodesh Elul, so I'll relate it to Rosh Hashanah and transition from Yirmiyahu to Rosh Hashanah davening. So remember, Kol Rama Nishma. So the simple pshat is Rama is the name of a city. Rama is a city nowadays, pretty much not too far from Neve Yaakov, if you know Jerusalem. When you leave Jerusalem to the north of the old city, you have Mount Scopus, Ramat Eshkol area. A little north of that, you have Pisgat Zev. A little north of that, you have Neve Yaakov. A little north of that, you have Ramallah. Between Pisgat Zev and Ramallah is a place called Aram. There's a refugee camp there called Kalandia. There's a checkpoint there, which has a lot of trouble, called Aram, named after Rama. But this was a well-known place north of Yerushalayim, maybe 10 kilometers north of Yerushalayim. And that's where the selection is being taken place. That's where the army, where Nevuzadran is sitting with his army. And that's where they decide who's going to go to Mitzpah to Gedaliah and who's going to go into exile up north. So they took Yirmiyahu in Pasuk Bet, and they gave Yirmiyahu a choice. Okay. And what did they tell Yirmiyahu? Listen carefully. Again, the head general now tells Yirmiyahu, Hashem Elohecha diber et hara hazot el makom hazeh. Your God predicted this destruction. Okay? And all this evil came, just like you said, because the people didn't listen to God. Now, bata. And now, he tells him, Hinei ptachticha yom min azikim asher yadecha. You're out of jail now. Remember, you were jailed by your brethren. You're a free man now. And you have a choice. You want to come with me to Babylonia? I'll take good care of you. You'll get best treatment. You're welcome to come with us and return to Babylon. Not return, but return with us to Babylonia, and you'll be in good shape there. If you don't want to come with us to Babylonia, to come to Babel, that's enough. Rei kol ha'aretz lefanecha, the whole land of Israel here is in front of you. Wherever you think is good and right, you can go. Basically, Yirmiyahu has a free card to go wherever he wants. Okay? Yirmiyahu decides to stay. Okay? B'shuva, and he stays with Gedaliah ben Achikam ben Shaphan, who Melech Bavel put in charge. Okay? And he was with the rest of the people. Okay? And he did whatever he wanted. So the head general gave Yirmiyahu what we call in Israel a green card, a free pass to go wherever he wants, and gave him food and a present. And again, you can understand why the people now are a bit wary of Yirmiyahu, because he gets a special treatment by the Babylonians. Now, this background of the Babylonian connection between Yirmiyahu and the people will come into play in the next story. Okay. What happens now? Yirmiyahu now joins Gedaliah in Mitzvah. Remember Gedaliah is someone, a family friend, so he can be trusted. He remains with the people. Had nothing gone wrong, then there would have remained a Jewish presence in Jerusalem. Not everyone had to be exiled. Now, again, the majority of the people were exiled to Bavel. But there could have been a remnant, what they call a Sherita Pleita. There might have been a remnant of Jews living not in Jerusalem, but north of Jerusalem. They could have remained as a community and become a spark of future redemption. At least someone would be around. And there was hope. But the problem is the war between the Jews still continues. Now, when we get now to Pasuk Zayin, the story of the assassination, we'll see. We're going to get some details that we didn't know about before that helps better understand the picture of what was happening in Yerushalayim earlier. Listen carefully. Pasuk Zayin. Vayishmu kol sarei ha'chayalim asher basadeh. Hema v'anashem, kivkid melech bavel et gidai ben achikam ba'aretz, vivkid ito anashim v'anashim v'taf midat ha'aretz asher lo hoglu bavela. Listen carefully. The officers of the soldiers who were in the field, they and their men, what happened to them? They and their men heard that what? The Gedai was put in charge. Now, what's that mean? That means that there were many officers in the army who abandoned Jerusalem before the Babylonians took over. Why did they abandon? They saw the war was coming, number one. Or maybe listen to Yirmiyahu. But what we see now, there were many troops, we'll see more people as well, who abandoned the city before the going got rough, way before the siege began. And we're going to see there were a lot of people hiding out in many places, waiting for the worst to be over. And now that the worst is over, they're going to start coming back, trickling back in when the coast is clear. One second. I have a little problem here. Okay. What I'm going to do now, one second. By Avol Gedai Hamispata, Vishma ben Netanya, Vichrim ben Kerech, Vesori ben Tanchumet, ben Yofi, Vainetofi, all these people came with them. Vaishabelem Gedaya ben Achikam ben Shafan ben Shem Lemor, Altirum Yavut Kazdim, Shvub Ars Vivdut Melech Bavel. Gedai says, don't worry, you can work here for Bavel, and everything will be fine. Now, I have to fix something on my computer real fast. I'm going to leave the screen open and just read the next couple of psukim, and I'll be back with you in 1 minute. Let me just go back to stop the share for 1 second and make the... Okay, we're back. Sorry about that. Hope it won't happen again. Don't you worry about a little technical problem here. Okay, we're back on. The noise is better and we're better. Okay, turn off the chat. Okay, let me go back to the share screen and we are good. And the recording's still on. Okay. So what happened? Make sure I'm not muted, right? People hear me? Wait, I'm not sure if I'm still muted. Okay, we're good. Share screen and back on. Okay. Now, I'll read over what I left over on the board. So what did Gedaliah tell the people? Don't worry. Bani hine yoshev ha-mitzpah. I'm in charge of mitzpah now. Lamod ifnei ha-kazim asher yivo elenu. Vatem yisfu yayin v'kais v'shemem v'simu b'chayhem v'shvu v'arachem asher tefastem. Basically, the land was wide empty now. All these soldiers who were in the field. And back, the guy said, don't worry. What? Take care. Everything will be fine. Just work the land. No rebellion. Now, what is the fear? Let me explain what the fear is. The fear of all these soldiers is, remember I told you, the Babylonians don't mind simple people working the field. The second soldiers come back, right? People who abandoned the army earlier and come back. What's the fear? Maybe they'll start a rebellion again. Again, simple people, farmers, regular people, that's fine. The second veteran soldiers come back, they're afraid that Babylonians might come and punish them, catch them, or worry about another rebellion. So therefore, they want to keep a low profile. Gedalia says, don't worry, just work the field. I'll protect you from the Babylonians. Pasuk Gedalia, verse 11 is amazing. V'gam kol ha'yudim asher b'moav uvnei Amon uve'edom v'asher b'chol ha'artzot shamu ki natan melech babel sherit liyuda v'pkid aleihem et Gedalia ben Achikam ben Shafan. What do we see? Before the temple was destroyed, before the city was under siege, many Jews had run away to where? To Moab, to Ammon, to Edom, all along our eastern border and our cousins. Remember back from Chumash's time. Moab, Ammon, and Edom, they'd run away there in hiding. Remember David ran away to Moab when Shaul was chasing him? In the story of Ruth, Miguel Ruth, people go to Moab when things are in trouble. Then later they come back to Judah. So we see the many Jews who had run away from their land. Now that the coast is clear, they're coming back. And there was a bit of hope. Maybe this will be a bit of return and maybe the country will get back together again. Almost like a beginning of a tiny little bit of a redemption, a bit of a renewal. And there could have been a hope for a Jewish community, even though the temple was destroyed. Now, what's the problem? Again, the military people get into trouble. Now we have an interesting story. Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'Yochanan ben Kereach, v'choser echadim asher b'sedeh, bo gdaya mitzvata. Remember this name, Yochanan ben Kereach, he's the good guy. He's a general, okay? He was a major general who ran away before the temple was destroyed, before the siege probably was set. And all the, he's the head of the of these officers, okay? They came to Gedalia. V'amru elav, הידוע תדע כי בליס מלך בני אמון שלח את ישמע בן נתניה לקותך נפש ולא אמין להם גדי בן החיקם. So let's get all the characters straight. Yochanan ben Kereach is a soldier, an officer. He's a good guy. He's a big general. He was a good guy. Another big officer, his name was Yishma ben Netanya. Okay? He's conspiring. Sent by whom? The king of Ammon sent Yishma ben Netanya. We'll see in a minute. He was from royal descent, and he is being sent by the king of Ammon to kill Gedalia, but Gedalia didn't believe what Yochanan told him. Yochanan heard from the grapevine that Yishmael ben Netanya was going to assassinate Gedalia, and Gedalia didn't believe Yochanan. Every time there's a sugya about taking Lashon Hara, there's always one of the sources they bring. That it's okay in cases like this to accept Lashon Hara. Now, what is the king of Ammon doing here? Why is Balis Melach Ammon, what does he care about the assassination? Basically, what did Ammon see? The Babylonians did the dirty work. The Babylonians got rid of 95% of the Jews. There's a couple more percent left. What the king of Ammon wants to happen, he wants there to be assassination in Israel. And what will happen? The second the governor appointed by the Babylonians is assassinated by some army men, the Babylonians are going to come and kick out everybody else. They're going to finish the job off, the remaining 5%. So Melech Ammon's instigating something to do that will cause the Babylonians to come and kick and put down the next potential rebellion. Hope that's clear. You'll see how to explain the rest of the story. Was Balis, the king of Ammon, wants to get rid of the rest of the Jews. The way he wants to do it, he wants the Babylonians to do it for him. And to get the Babylonians to kick out the rest of the Jews, he wants to start what appears to be a coup d'etat, like a rebellion in Yehuda, that will bring the Babylonian authorities in to kick out the rest of the Jews. Now, and by killing Gedalia, that would cause that to happen. Gedalia did not accept the story from Yochanan ben Kereach, and guess what happened? Yochanan ben Kereach amar Gedalia b'seter b'mispad le'mor, he told him quietly, Elcha navaket yishma ben Netanya v'ish lo yida, let me do it secretly. I'll get rid of him. No one will know. I'll do it quietly. Let me kick a nevish. Why allow him to kill you? Because if he kills you, Gedalia understands. Or not Gedalia, Yochanan understands as well as Gedalia. If you get killed, what's going to happen? Everyone's going to be scattered.
Just 1 second, please.
Wait, let me just do a quick
recording. Recording is
okay. I just muted everybody again. Okay. Sorry about that. Okay. So what did Gedalia tell Ben Kereach then? Al tas et davar zeh. Don't do that. Ki sheker ata dover el Yishmael. He didn't believe him. That's the famous story. Gedalia didn't take Lashon Hara, and he should have. And Gedalia and Yishmael is going to get away with it. chapter 41. Vayibach Rosh Hashvi, according to most commentators, this is on Rosh Hashanah itself. So our fast of this event is on the third day because of today's Rosh Hashanah, which might be what's called Nitcha, or maybe it's happening sometime in the seventh month. But in general, the Chodesh is usually always referred to Rosh Chodesh. Can sometimes refer to Rosh Chodesh. Okay. Vayibach Rosh Hashvi. Vayishma ben Netanya Elishama ben Mizer HaMlucha. First, not to catch anyone's attention, they come, assuming it's Rosh Hashanah, they come and join Gedaliah for Rosh Hashanah feast. Okay? Sit down to eat, they have a nice meal. When the meal's over, Yishmael and his 10 hitmen, they kill Gedaliah. Why is it being highlighted as Shirif Kid Melech Bavel Baretz? They're killing the person appointed by the Babylonians over the land. Again, why is that being accented? That's going to cause the Babylonians to come and put down this rebellion. Now did he kill Gedaliah? He killed the Jews that were with him and the Babylonians that were with him. That's really going to get the Babylonians angry. In other words, he's going to do something. Yishma ben Netanya did something that will cause the Babylonians to get rid of the rest of the people in Yehuda. And he's going to run away back to Ammon and be safe. Okay. The second day of Rosh Hashanah, after Gedaliah was killed, no one knew about it yet because they killed everyone in Mitzvah. But remember, not everyone was Mitzvah. There were still people in the field. We see there's still people living in the Samaria. And they were coming. It's unclear whether they didn't hear about the temple being destroyed yet and they brought it by mistake, or they knew about it but they're bringing it anyhow as a sign of mourning kind of idea. But a group of people are coming on the way to Yerushalayim from Shechem and Shamron, passing by Mitzvah. By Tzeishma, and remember, Mitzvah is on the way there. It's like 10 kilometers north of Jerusalem, so they have to pass Mitzvah, which is on the main road, on the way there. By the way, Mitzvah is identified as Tel Adatzvah. It's a little, maybe a kilometer or two south of Ramallah, along the main road. Some people want to claim that maybe Nebi Sam was Mitzvah, but that's an argument among the archaeologists. But according to simple Pshat, Mitzvah has to be a city along the main road. It's going to be along, again, the ancient Highway 60, which is hugging the main road, which goes basically between Jerusalem, the old city, and Mount Scopus, and Ramallah, which is about a little more east of the road than Nebi Samuel. So what happened? By Tzei Yishma ben Netanya likratam, in a mitzvah, he goes to meet them, crying, pretending like, you know, he's sad to them. He lies to them, say, hey, come join Gedaliah. And when they came to the city, guess what he does? He kills them. They kill them and they throw their bodies in the big pit. Now, there were 80 of them. 10 of them got away. What did they do? They made up a story. So these 10 people said, don't kill us. 10 additional people of the 80. They say, don't kill us. We have some hidden goodies. Don't kill us and we'll show you where they are. And they save their lives. Now, what happens? We're going to have a sentence here, which seems totally superfluous, but I think it's key to what Yirmiyahu is trying to get across. Listen carefully now. This is like a footnote in the story. Vabor, remember when Yishma ben Netanya killed not just Gedaliah, but these 80 people who came, or 70 of them of the 80. They threw their bodies into an empty pit. What was this pit? It was almost like an anti-tank trench, or anti-chariot trench. The pit that they used to throw the empty dead bodies, the carcasses of those men that he killed into, it's the same trench that was what? That was built by the king Asa against Basha. That's what Yishmael filled with Chalalim. Now, that seems to be something very technical, but apparently irrelevant unless you look carefully at the story. We can skip the last line, but basically, Yishmael basically takes the rest of the people that were left over in the area of Mizpah, the daughters of the king, the rest of the people, and he went with them now to bring them back to Bnei Ammon. Those, he's going to be the people who sided with him. He's going back to the king of Ammon and hoping now the Babylonians will kill, get rid of anyone else left in the country. Now, why is this point so important? I'm going to share a different screen now. Actually, same screen. But we did this in the beginning of our course. Who's Asa and Basha? If you remember our timeline, I'm going to do a little annotate here. In our timeline, our sine wave. We're over here. Belut Tzidkiyahu, we're here at the end of Bayit Rishon. Remember? Bayit Rishon began with King David, King Solomon. Remember? We had times of Achav and Yehoshaphat, Yerobam, Uzziel. These were the good years. When was Asa and Basha? What we explained was there's a lot of ups and downs in the first temple period. This is the Korban is the very end. Things were up and things were down. In general, what caused the fall and what caused revival? So the prophets would like to say, whenever you follow God, things are good. When you don't follow God, things are bad. But when you study Sefer Melachim, there's another way to look at the analysis. Whenever the country is united, and we have a united kingdom, when David unites all the tribes together, and everyone remains united under King Solomon, the country is going great. The second, there's a split of the kingdom, the revolt of Rehoboam, everything falls apart, where after that revolt, the worst time is between Asa and Basha. There's a state of war between Asa and Basha, which totally breaks the country. Things don't recover until Achab and Yehoshaphat work together again, when they finally have a coalition. But when the northern kingdom and Yehuda are others next, that's the worst. So we're going to see a state of war between Asa and Basha, Asa the king of Yehuda and Basha the king of Israel. But this was 300 years earlier. There's the revolt of Yehu. There's another big civil war, time of Yoash and Amatziah. Things only recover when Uzziah and Rehoboam, the second Rehoboam, work together. Things fall apart again when the 10 tribes go into exile. And now what we're going to find, we're going to find one last story of what's called Sinat Chinam, of people not getting along with one another, which is going to cause the final Korban. Now, what happened between us and Basha? We have a couple minutes. We'll take a quick look. Let me go back to our other source sheet. Sorry, we do clear the drawings and back to my mouse and back to Yirmiyahu. Here we go. I'm going to go to the end of the source sheet. And here, it's from the Book of Kings, chapter 1 Kings, chapter 15. Okay, Melachim, that's our source. Here we are. Here, our footnote. It's in Roman numeral 6 at the end of the source sheet. Okay, there's a state of war between Asa and Basha, the king of Israel. This was some 250 years earlier. What did Basha do? Basha is the king of the north. Vaya Basha melech Yisrael al Yehuda. What did Basha do? Basha went south of Beit El. Remember the big city where the temple was in Beit El? A little south of Beit El is Mitzpah. A little south of that is Ramah. Ramah is right above Pisgat Zev, right above Har Sofim, a little north of Har Sofim. Who builds Ramah as a fortress to block any advance from Yehuda anywhere farther north, protecting Beit El. That's what he builds up. Asa doesn't like this. It's like aggression against Yehuda. What's Asa do? Asa, the king of Yehuda, takes all the gold and silver that was left over in the temple treasury. He sends it as a bribe, right, to Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram. He sends up to Syria in Damascus. And what's he say? Brit Bedim Venecha. We have a treaty between us and between my father. Remember, the Davidic kingdom always had a good treaty with the king of Aram. I'm sending you shochad. He's calling it shochad, gold and silver. Go break your treaty with Basha, the king of Yehuda. Now, Aram, Syria, is closer to the 10 tribes than it is to Yehuda. And Aram, Syria, at the time, had a treaty both with Yehuda and with Israel. But now Israel is fighting within itself. So the Judean king sends a bribe to Syria to give trouble to the northern kingdom, right, up north, to stop his ability to do any aggression against Yehuda. Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, listens to Asa. he sends his men, Asherlo, up to the seas, northern cities of Israel. Be'echet Iyun. Iyun is basically Metula. If you've ever been Nachal Iyun, it's right next to Metula. Bet Dan, that's Tel Dan. Bet Evo Bet Macha, that's right near where Trumpledor's place is over there. And Bet Kinarot, that's the Kinneret. Bet Kol Eretz Naphtali, that's the area of Tzfat. Got that? Basically, he takes the whole northern Galilee and attacks it. Basha heard what was happening up north. He had to take his resources and help defend the north and couldn't continue building his fortress and stop building Ramah. What did Asa do? Melech Asa Yishmi at Yehuda, Kol B'Yehuda, he said, Einaki. Asa says, listen, everyone's got to get to work here. Vayisu et avnei haramah v'itzeh asher bana basha v'even ba melech Asa et geva binyamin v'mitzpah. He took all the building materials that we're using to make this wall entrenched to, what do you call it, to a wall against Yehuda. They moved now, Yehuda took it and moved it to the north of Mitzpah and built it in what's called Geva Binyamin and Mitzpah a little bit farther to the north. So now, with all this building, when you build strong walls, you have to build a trench first. So this trench that was built, both first by Basha and then finished by Asa, was basically a sign or a symbol of the civil war between north and south, or a symbol of Sinat Chinam. And therefore, in Yirmiyahu, when the book of Yirmiyahu mentions, ironically, that the same pit that Yishmael ben Netanya threw the dead bodies into was the same one that was built with Asa and Basha in their civil war. So again, that's what, let me go back to where we were. Where are we here? There we go, okay. I think I went too far up. Oh, here we are, right here. We have a long way to go. Okay, here's our footnote. Okay. So therefore, what happened? We mentioned this pit. Okay, this pit, the Habor Asher Yishlich, the board that Yishmael ben Netanya put all the carcasses in, the same one that Asa built against Basha, the king of Israel. Again, this pit, this trench, was a sign of the civil war and the Sinat Chinam, the baseless hatred between brethren, which also led to the final Korban as well. This topic they always study on fast days to talk about Sinat Chinam and Avat Chinam. Now, so how about Yochanan ben Kirach, the guy who warned Gedaliah? Where's he? He wasn't there at the party. He would have protected God, but he wasn't there. He's the good guy. Here's what's happening. All the bad things Yishmael did. He took his men. Remember, he's a general. He goes and attacks Yishmael ben Netanya before he gets back to Jordan, back to Amman. And they find him by Givon. Givon is a little south of Mitzpah, a little north of Yerushalayim. If you know where Givat Zev is nowadays, it's right next to El Jib, the Arab. It's like basically right below Nebi Samuel. So they meet him there. Now, what's ironic? Anyone else remembers what event happened by the water, by the Brechan Givon? Let's just open it up for a question. I'll stop the share for a minute. But what other story happened in Tanakh by the Brechan Givon?
Deborah?
Yeah, go ahead. What do you mean, Deborah?
Deborah and Barak fought against the forces of Sisera.
So that was farther up north.
Okay.
Givon was Shaul and David, when basically Yoav and Avner.
Didn't that have that fight with the two sides of the 12 men?
Yeah, when they go fight each other instead of everybody fighting. That's when Yoav and Avner have their first showdown. That was Bull Run of the war against Shaul and David, if you know your Civil War history. No one wanted a war, but it turned into a war. And that's when the whole thing with Abner and Asau getting killed, that starts the whole feud. Basically, that's the beginning.
Wasn't it L'sachet? Yavoa ne'arim L'sachet?
He said, yes, Yavoa ne'arim L'sachet L'faneinu. That was that story. So you see the irony of all the stories that begin with Sinat Chinam, that one, all ending with the same Sinat Chinam. Again, different generals, different, everyone arguing over who's going to side with who. And the same thing happened at the end of the Second Temple period. And as we know from history, we don't learn from our history. We make the same mistakes over and over again. Now, back to back to our story, and we got to get finished up here. Now, where are we? We're not going to finish, are we? Okay. So what happens? So Yishmael, remember, Yochanan ben Kareach is a good guy. He takes the man with him, and he engages Yishmael ben Netanya, and he catches him. What happens? All the people who were captured by Yishmael, who were on Yishmael's side from Mitzvah, they switched sides and they joined Yochanan ben Kareach. Yishmael ben Netanya nimlat, b'shmona anashim b'dnei Yochanan b'yelechav b'dnei Amon. Yishmael ben Netanya, his coup d'etat failed. All the people with him abandoned him. And he and eight of his men, remember, he started with 10 thugs, now he's got 8 left. They go back to Ammon and run away. Who's in charge now? Yochanan ben Kareach, remember the good guy? He's in charge. He saved everybody. Vaykach Yochanan ben Kareach et kol sarachim asher ito, ve'et sherit ha'am asher yishim et yishmael ben Netanya, bin ha'mitzvah, achar ikat gedaya b'echrikam, gvarim anshim echamal, v'nashim v'tafas rsim, asher yishim b'givon. What's he do? Who's in charge now? Gedaliah is dead. Tons of people were killed. The man in charge now is Yochanan ben Kareach. He was the one who tried to prevent the assassination of Gedaliah. And he's the one who kicked Yishmael ben Netanya away, the guy who assassinated Gedaliah. So he's in charge now. What are they going to do? What are they afraid of? They're afraid of staying in Israel because the Babylonians are going to come and put down this what they think is a rebellion. So this is what happens. They decided to go down to Egypt. On the way down to Egypt, they stop in Beit Lechem. Remember, they're going south. They can't go to Jerusalem because that's out of bounds. But they're going south from the Shomer, from the Ezor of Binyamin by Mitzvah and Ramallah, and they're going south towards Beit Lechem on the way to Gush Etzion, on the way to Egypt. Why? Here's everything we did. Bibnei Kazdim, why are they going to Beit Lechem? They're afraid of the Chaldeans or the Babylonians. Got it? Because Yishmael killed Gedaliah, who was put in charge by the Babylonians. Everyone's sure that the Babylonians are going to retaliate now and kill anyone, especially any military people. And therefore, Yochanan ben Kareach, even though he's a good guy, has to run away. But they have a rabbi. What should they do? They're going to go ask Yirmiyahu for a psak. Listen carefully. All the big shots, remember, all the captains of the forces, okay? And their big general, Yochanan ben Kareach. All the good guys. We're praying to you, Yirmiyahu. You're a rabbi. We listen to you all along. Pray for us to your God. It's our God, but you're the one close to him, okay? For this remainder. We're so few. What are we going to do now? Yirmiyahu, pray for us. What should we do? Listen. Vayaged lanu Hashem Elohecha et haderech asher nelech ba et hadever asher naseh. Right out of Sefer Dvarim. Okay? Please tell us. Have your God tell us. Our God, your God, tell us which way we should go. What should we do? Got it? They're asking for Yirmiyahu for advice. What should we do? Pray for us and give us direction. Remember before Yirmiyahu couldn't daven for them. These guys are okay, you can daven for them. I'll tell you whatever God tells me. Listen carefully now. What do they say? Yirmiyahu, whatever you say in God's name will do. Im tovim ra, be it good or bad. Any psak you get from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're our prophet, you're the Navi, anything you say we're going to do. We want to do the right thing. We're going to listen to God. Got it? They totally trust Yirmiyahu, it sounds like. Yirmiyahu, whatever you say is fine. Now something very strange happens. For some reason, God doesn't answer Yirmiyahu right away. It takes 10 days till Yirmiyahu gets his answer. Why? Unclear. But he gets the answer. And here's the answer. He gives the answer to the generals and all the people. Here's the word of God. If you remain in this land, I'll build you and you won't be destroyed. Yirmiyahu tells the people, God says, stay here. Everything's fine now. No more destruction. You can stay here. What are they afraid of? The Babylonians. He says, don't worry about the Babylonians. I'll protect you, God says. See my whole point? Everyone is afraid the Babylonians are going to come and retaliate. That was the whole plan. That was the whole strategy of Balis, the king of Ammon, and Ishmael. That's the underlying fear. What are the Babylonians going to do now that Gedaliah is dead? Yirmiyahu says, Al tiru mimenu, Nim Hashem. God says, don't be afraid of them. I'll save you. They'll have mercy on you. If you don't say, if you say, no, go down to Egypt, it's better. We won't see war. The Kol Shafar means not Rosh Hashanah, means Kol Shafar is a sign of war. In ancient times, when you heard a lot of shofar blowing, that means war was imminent because all the soldiers, all the officers, use shofarot as a military tool to give instructions to the soldiers. He says, the people are saying, let's go to Egypt. Why? In Egypt, we'll have peace and quiet. We won't see war. We'll have food to eat. Well, things will be quiet there. But since you got that to Egypt, you're gonna have war again. You're gonna die. Stay in Israel, everything will be fine. You understand the answer Yirmiyahu is giving them? Stay put. Stay in Israel, everything will be fine. Okay? He says, if you go down to Israel, we can skip all this, things will be bad. And just like I punished the city, now things are good. Okay? Bagid lechem hayom, it's a script to the end. Because the people were punished for the difference to me. Now he says, you should know. If you go down to Egypt, you're going to die there. If you stay in Israel, everything will be fine. Okay? Now, didn't they say they would listen to anything Yirmiyahu says? Listen what happens now. This is like the saddest end of Yirmiyahu's career. When they finish hearing all these words, they don't believe Yirmiyahu. They call him a liar. After all this, they call Yirmiyahu a Navi Sheker. He says, you're saying something in God's name. He didn't say, they don't buy it. It's so obvious to them that the right thing to do is go down to Egypt where it'll be safe. When Yirmiyahu tells him stay in Israel, he says, we're not going to buy it again. We don't listen to you. You're messing us up again. Now, who are they blaming, though? Listen. Who's the instigator? Yirmiyahu, you're okay. Baruch ben Neriah. He's misleading you. Remember Baruch ben Neriah is Yirmiyahu's scribe? He's the one who wrote the Megillat Sefer. They're accusing Baruch as being the collaborator. And he's the one influencing Yirmiyahu to give these nevuot. And what did they decide to do? Even though they said they listened to Yirmiyahu, they don't. Now, why don't they listen? A, because it doesn't make sense to stay in Israel. It's all ahead. And because it took 10 days till they got an answer, they just don't buy it. Now, remember, Yochanan Mekirech was as good as you get. Remember? He left the city, like Yirmiyahu said, before the siege started, as Yirmiyahu recommended to them. He tried to save Gedaliah ben Achikam. He saved everyone from Ishmael ben Netanya. He wanted to tell Yirmiyahu, pray to us. But he of all people, they don't listen. And Yochanan ben Kerach and all his men go. What do you call it? They go down. We're going to go in Eretz Yudah. They took the Gvarim, the Nashim, the Taf, all the people, the men, the royal family that was left, the daughters of the king that were still around. And everyone who Nivazadran left with Gedaliah ben Achikam. What's it say? Vayavo Eretz Mitzrayim, ki lo shamu b'kol Hashem, vayavo atach panches. That happened? And that's it. That's why we have Tum Gedaliah. Not just because Gedaliah was assassinated. This was called the end of the Shreita Pleita. Most people don't realize the end of the story, what happened. There could have been a Jewish presence in Israel, even after the temple was destroyed. Not in Jerusalem, but in the country. But because of Gedaliah's assassination and the war afterwards with Yochanan, And because Yirmiyahu's answer didn't, maybe didn't come soon enough, the people and the fear that Babylonians are going to come in and retaliate for what happened, they all pick up and leave to Egypt. And guess who's going to go with him? Yirmiyahu. Why does Yirmiyahu stay in Jerusalem? He needs a minion. I'm saying that in jest. What's he going to do? He's going to stay in Israel by himself. The shul members, his congregants don't listen to him, but he stays with them anyhow. He says, take some big stones, put them in, what do you call it? Open, do something symbolic and tell the people what's going to happen. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, is going to take over Egypt as well. Yirmiyahu is saying, just like Nebuchadnezzar took over Israel, Egypt's next on line. Remember all the politics we talked about beforehand? Why were there so many Jews in Israel willing to rebel against the Babylonians? They were expecting Egypt to come and help them. They were joining the coalition that Egypt was organizing, and this coalition was hoping Egypt would come to their help. And that's what gave them these false hopes. And aligning themselves with Egypt was the main political strategy that Yehoiakim had and later Zedekiah had when he rebelled. What Yirmiyahu is saying, it's not going to help you, because guess what? Now we did Nebuchadnezzar take over Israel. In Syria, he's going to take over Egypt as well. Okay. Uvavi kept there. He's going to come and destroy Egypt, and therefore you're worried about what's going to be in Israel. It's going to be worse in Egypt. And that's what's going to happen. That's the Nebuah against Egypt. Now, I just want to end real quickly. I have to leave in a minute. We'll continue this next week. But the most amazing thing is Yirmiyahu is in Egypt with them, and he doesn't stop giving drushes. He still yells at them, right? He doesn't give up. You know, once a shul rabbi, always a shul rabbi. And he still gives them mussar. He doesn't stop giving them rebuke. Okay? So this is the word of Yirmiyahu to the people living in Egypt. Okay? What's he say? Kol Hashem Tzvot, Elei Yisrael. Atem Ritem, you saw all these things that happened. Okay? Okay? And I sent them. You should have learned from what happened. Now he says, Vata, Pasuk Zayin. Kol Hashem Elei Tzvot, Elei Yisrael. Lama atem osim ra gdola nafshutechem, nachrit lachem ish v'isha v'alav yonek v'tok v'da. Why are you doing all this evil? Lachisendim v'masei dechem lakater l'alim acherim b'eretz Mitzrayim. Asher atem baim l'gur sham. L'man achrit lachem, l'man yivchem l'chalal l'chapal b'chol goy ha'aretz. Why are you doing idol worship in Egypt? Why are you doing this? They go down to Egypt, and Egypt do as the Egyptians do, and they're going to start serving the Egyptian gods. Shouldn't surprise anybody. Yirmiyahu yells at the people now for accepting Egyptian culture, following Egyptian gods. He says, did you forget all the bad things that happened to your forefathers? What happened when they followed other gods? Okay. I'm going to put my face against you. You're going to be wiped out in Israel. And whatever's left over of Yudah who went to Egypt, they're all going to be finished in Egypt. They're all going to die from young to old, etc. No, they'll have no remnant. There'll be a remnant from the people in Babel. Your community went down to Egypt. Yirmiyahu tells them, you're finished, you're lost. I know Makos Simkutz had a whole series in Torah Moshe on the Jewish community in Egypt that began at the end of the first temple period and came all through the second temple period. It's interesting. I didn't hear her whole series, but when that community started, the question is the community in Egypt, did it begin actually here, or was this community actually wiped out? And we don't know for sure. Now, this is what the people answer back to Yirmiyahu. They've had it with him. Yirmiyahu is giving them this lecture again, rebuke about following these other gods. He says, you know, stay loyal to your God. They had it with Yirmiyahu. He says, listen what they tell the rabbi right in his face. Hadavar asher dibarte elenu b'shem Hashem einenu shomim elecha. Isn't that amazing? They tell Yirmiyahu right to his face, this rebuke that you're giving us, we're not listening to you. I'll read that again. Hadavar asher ata dibarte elenu b'shem Hashem einenu shomim elecha. We're not listening to you. Ki ason aset kol avar sheyatzah mipinu lekater lemelech hashamayim. We're going to follow all these other gods. And we're going to bring libations to them. Just like our grandparents did in Yerushalayim. We'll have food to eat and things will be good and nothing will bad happen. Now they're going to give it to him big. Umiyas chadaunu lechater lemelech hashamayim haseich lemesachim chersanu kol v'chev rab tamnu. Listen what they're saying. And I want to end with this, and then we'll continue this next week. I want to share my screen with my, I'm sorry, it was right here before, with our sine wave. Remember how we began our course at the beginning? Again, I'll have to talk this properly next week. But things began in the time of Menashe. There was a Gzar Din of Korban in the time of Menashe. Menashe basically closed down the temple, served every god possible. We'll read it again next week. We were serving terrible idol worship at the time of Menashe, and that's when God said, I had it. Yoshiel does tremendous tshuva. Remember? Yoshiel does his tshuva over here and thinks it great again. And then Bavel comes in and falls apart. We thought this was the beginning. What are the people saying? From their point of view, what caused all the trouble? Yeriel's reform, Yoshiel's reform that brought the people back to God, that caused all the trouble. When we were serving, when we were doing idol worship in the end of Menashe, in the first years of year before Yoshiel did Tshuva, the first 13 years of the reign of Yoshiel, when the people of Menashe's government were still running the country, when we were deep into idol worship, relatively things were great. Ever since we did this revolt, so we had a couple of good years, everything's fallen apart. Remember? Our king died in Megiddo. Joachim gets wiped out. The Babylonians can take over. And what are they basically telling Yirmiyahu? Serving our God did us no good. Remember, they kept on going to the temple praying to God. Remember, we did this over and over again. All through the life of Yirmiyahu, the people were praying to God, save us from the Babylonians. God didn't answer their cry. And what are the people telling Yirmiyahu in hindsight? You know what? Idol worship was better than serving God. Our God abandoned us. Almost like what you have in Echa. You know, why did God abandon us? You know, it's what Echa is complaining about. But the people were saying to Yirmiyahu, enough is enough. Quit with your religion business. Our God, disaster. Right? We turned to God in the time of Yoshiel. We did this great reform. We built the temple and everything. We prayed to him left and right. And look at this mess we're in. Now, Yirmiyahu was saying, because you weren't doing Tzedek u'Mishpat. They don't buy that. We're religious, and that was the crux of the problem. Again, next week, again, I have to finish now. We'll stop here, but we need one more week to tie it up together. We see what direction we're going in. It's so sad, the end of his career. And you understand, remember, we saw in the end of chapter 20 last week, why Yirmiyahu wished he was never born. Remember, he hates the day he was born, curses the day he was born. He hates his job. He has to give his nevuot. Okay? The people hate him, you understand? Because from their point of view, for political reasons, he's to blame for the Korban because he encouraged people to abandon the troops. And for religious reasons, he's to blame for the Korban because your reform got us nowhere. You picked the wrong God. Had we stayed with idol worship, life would have been better. You and your religion stuff only, you and your fanatics only made life terrible. Anyway, so we'll stop here. Again, we have to make this, read over the story. I skipped a couple things there, but the story is fascinating. It's Jennifer Moshe. It's an amazing story. Very few people ever read it. Most people heard of Gedalia, and that's soon Gedalia. But the I'm trying to give the political, but that was the whole title series, Politics and Policy Roads in Clash. You see how the politics explains even after the Korban, what caused Gedalia to be assassinated, why the people left, why they don't listen to Yirmiyahu. And bottom line, when people have a misunderstanding of God, when things go bad, they blame God instead of blaming themselves. And unfortunately, not much has changed. Okay, so we'll stop here. And again, I have to leave right now, but we'll continue next week. Have a good week, everybody.